Welcome to this week's edition of the Commercial Real Estate 101 Meetup Group. For those of you guys who are tuning in for the first time, we actually started this group back in April of 2020, somewhat in response to COVID. But ever since then, we've been inviting speakers to talk about a variety of different topics pertaining to commercial real estate. And today, I actually have the honor of interviewing Spencer. Cool story about how we got connected. I think it was just all through LinkedIn. Like, we just kind of learned about a little bit about each other. I learned a little bit about his background, and he had a lot of interesting insights pertaining to networking in the space to be able to generate opportunities, both on the business side and also, you know, on the investment front. So I thought that would be a really cool topic of discussion for today's episode. So obviously, welcome, Spencer. It's great to see you as always. And yeah, I'm excited to talk about.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you having me, and I appreciate anybody that is on this, because I know today's a big day. It's a happy tournament day.
Yeah, I had a couple buddies today. We were just talking, and they're like, "Are you going to watch the tournament today?" I'm like, "Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, obviously we got this live stream, but at some point today, maybe even tomorrow, there's a lot of different events happening where over the next couple days you have people that are just going to have watch parties. So I'm sure I'll get to tune in.
Do you guys host any tournaments? Do you guys, because Omaha hosts, we are our first round host. Like every year now.
Oh, really? Yeah. Historically, I'm sure we have in the past, and don't quote me on this because I'm not necessarily Louisville native, but I know that we have this capacity to host it, and we may very well do that. So that would be something that I'm sure other people on the call could potentially share insights on. But yeah, historically, Louisville's been a great team. The last few years have been really rough, and I know we just fired our coach. So hopefully there's better records on the horizon for the Louisville Cardinal. So.
Seems like one of those programs that will always somehow get back.
Yeah. It's a blue chip program. I mean, over time, you know, there's going to be coaches out there that really want to have the job, and, you know, hopefully they can bring some talent along with them. But either way, I'm really excited to kind of dive into this discussion. Usually when we first get started, we ask the person to tell us a little bit about themselves. So you don't mind kind of sharing a little bit about your backstory. I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah. So to stick on the college. So I went to KU. I'm from Overland Park, Kansas City originally, so I went to KU. Was a journalism major over there. And I knew pretty much towards the end of my college career, I was like, okay, I don't think this is what I'm going to use. So I actually I've gotten to a few different random sales jobs after school and just kind of trying to figure out really what my path is going to be. I didn't really figure it out until I was probably like 25, 26 years old. And I just decided commercial real estate for many reasons. And I can go into a whole thing, but like it checked a lot of boxes for me. Just the top few were just allowed me to make certain, like I wanted to reach a certain income level, like of freedom and wealth. So like, I know if you know, so commercial real estate could lead into that. I want to be creative every day, because with journalism school, I mean, I knew I liked to be creative, and I was thinking, you know, investments and development and all these different things you can get into, and you can change the landscape of a city. I always thought that's very interesting and cool. So be creative, you know, potential to make lots of money, and just get to work on different things all the time, and, you know, make a positive impact. So those were kind of my big things. So with that, just gut commercial real estate. I knew nothing about it at all. So I just Googled commercial real estate Omaha. So at that point, so I went to KU, met a girl who was from Omaha, and, this is my own little like space back here. So one of my colleagues just came in, but, met a girl who was from Omaha, and I basically followed her. So she was better at school than me. She had a better job lined up. So I quit my job in Kansas City, moved to Omaha without a job. And then, but from that, end up getting a sales job in some random credit card processing role, but did some inside sales. So I got like really good on the phone. I could just talk on the phone really well and just be myself. And that was probably the biggest thing I learned from being at that job for a year and a half. But from there, we also lived in downtown Omaha. We got an apartment in downtown Omaha, and I just learned the city. I was like, man, this place has got a lot of potential. We got a dog. And so I started walking the dog all over the city, and I was like, okay, I felt like, well, one, if you're gonna be in commercial real estate, you gotta believe in the market you're in. And so I believed in the market, And so I just started Googling commercial real estate Omaha, probably called like 20 different companies, and finally got my foot in the door as a property manager for a retail strip center. Probably had like 50, 60 tenants. And so I did that. That was in 2017. January 2017, got that opportunity. And from there, about 10 months into it, I got my license. And I, when I was there, I worked, so the company I worked for was a developer that had been going bananas in the 80s and the 90s and early 2000s. And they kind of like at this point were more stagnant, but had a lot of different assets and departments. So I was just in that company, and these in-house brokers, you know, I got to know them. They're like, hey, you'd probably be pretty good at this if you wanted to do that. You know, you've got the sales background and all that stuff. And I didn't even know what a broker was. But then I learned a little about it. I was like, okay, this is probably more my speed. One, I've always wanted to do my own thing. I've always wanted to start a business, or just, I wasn't the best employee in the world. So I was like, okay, this to me, it's like 1099, 100% commission. It'll teach me how to support myself and all that different stuff. So, and my, when I got into the business, the whole idea was, how do I become a person who builds these buildings and owns these buildings? And like, how do I learn the most about this industry? And I've always been told that like getting into sales is a really good way to learn any industry. So with that, became a broker in 2018. I went to, got my license, got married in October 2017, went back to my, you know, boss at the time. I was like, hey, I quit. I'm going to go be a broker. And he's like, well, you can stay here and do that. You know, I was like, all right. So I helped them finish out the year. So in 2018, January, became a broker. And the problem was, I wasn't at a brokerage house. I was at this development company that like had in-house brokers. So like, they didn't really have anything for me to work on. So I just had to start from scratch. And everybody told me like, yeah, you're going to make no money for a while. So just be prepared. And I just thought like, I still don't really know much about this. I don't know anything. I don't really know anybody. And so the only thing I really had in my control was getting to know people and networking. And I had to have been, I like to think like I probably networked more than anybody, like more than any broker in the industry. And from 2018 to 2020, I don't know if like anybody networked more than me in Omaha, because sure. I just, like, I didn't have any kids at the time.
Sure.
My wife had a job where she worked a lot too. So it was like, I mean, it was breakfast, lunch,
yeah,
beers, all the things.
Oh, we'll get into that. I'm excited to kind of dive into that. So just to kind of summarize for those who are listening on the call and also on in the podcast. So really what got you interested in commercial real estate was what probably got a lot of people interested in commercial real estate to begin with is, you know, the entrepreneurial opportunities, commercial real estate. I mean, you can be very creative in residential real estate, but again, with commercial real estate, there's so many different avenues that you can pursue. You know, you had an interesting background in that, you know, you had a journalism background, and it kind of showcases that you don't have to have a specific type of background to get into something like this, because I was an engineer and then got into software development and then jumped into commercial real estate. So it kind of reinforces that fact. And then breaking into the actual business, you actually just called a bunch of people, which a lot of people are just, they think, oh, they can apply online or something like that. It's like, no, like commercial real estate's all relationships, yeah, all a good fit. I talk with like three or four brokerages, or maybe even more than that. Actually, I'm going to talk about like five or six brokerages. And, you know, for some didn't call me back because maybe it wasn't a good fit. And then I had two or three that showed interest. And finally, I ended up going with the one I ultimately got with as well. But it kind of showcases that commitment and tenacity to try to get in the door. So, you know, and then I wanted to kind of retouch on what you're talking about pertaining to the networking side, because, you know, similar to you, I'm a transplant. You're a transplant. You don't have a built-in network in the place that you ultimately decided to do business in. So, you know, can you kind of talk about some of the things that you were doing during that 2018, 2020 timeframe to kind of create this, you know, again, become a person that people just know, and then you become that connector. So yeah, if you could kind of share some of those strategies, I think that'd be great.
Yeah. I mean, I really just had like two goals. I was like, get listings so I could, my name could be on the sign. Mm-hmm. And then like, I'd be on like CoStar, and Craigslist wasn't even a thing yet. But it's like, I could just be on, so like people could like start seeing that. But then I was like, just meet as many people as possible. And my strategy was like, okay, like I'm 25, 26, however old I was. I was like, I'm just going to start with becoming friends with all the other young brokers, because that's kind of like not intimidating. So I can just call them up, like, hey, let's go grab a drink. Let's go get some lunch or whatever. And I think that was the right call, because it's easy. You're comfortable because it's just a peer, and they had a more experience than me. So like I could kind of learn the lingo, get good at talking shop, just like get comfortable being myself in this industry. So I start with all the young people. I just like went to every single brokerage firm's website and just saw all the young people. And I just, I'm going to try and sit down with all of them. I think I pretty much did. And then once you get a little confidence, it's all right. Now I'm going to go walk into a building and find an owner, or I'm going to call a developer, because and then from that, like, I think what helped me is that I'm just genuinely extremely curious about people and about successful people and business owners and developers. Like, they fascinate me and I just want to learn more about them. And so I'm just kind of fearless when it comes to, like, if I'm at a, you know, I was at an open house, like one of the first open house after like COVID, you know, so COVID hit, we're at this like big office open house, like one of the first ones, and everybody's still wearing masks and doing stuff. And there's this big time developer, we're in his building, and I've always heard like a lot of things about him. And I just like, oh man, there he is. So I walked up to him and just said, hey, I'm Spencer. I've heard a lot of great things about you. Just wanted to say hello. And he just kind of got, he's like, oh, he kind of took him off guard. Like, well, hey, yeah, you know, so-and-so. And there was a lot of people there, so we didn't talk for long, but he's like, hey, like, you know, feel free to reach back out and we can grab like breakfast or something. And now that was over 2 years ago. And I get breakfast with this person probably once a quarter or somewhere around that. And it's like, no business has really been generated, but we've looked at deals. We talk about development. I mean, it's just so cool. And it all just came from like getting over the uncomfortableness of going and saying hello to somebody. And all you have to do is say, hi, I'm Spencer. And I just knew that was the only way for me to get to where I want to go, was doing stuff like that. So it's like, I rather just deal with that uncomfortable moment. Cause a lot of it's because you do get some no's. You do get some people who like don't want to talk to you. And it's like, yeah, it's whatever. I don't take it personal because people are busy and I get it. I do go on some rants. So I to kind of go into how networking actually helped me, because year one, I made no money. Year two, I made very little money. And it got to a point where I was like, okay, now we're into 2019, and I was like, okay, people are definitely getting to know me. I had been able to get some listings, like get my name out there as well as, but they were bad. They were not good listings.
Yeah.
Listings were not gonna make me any money, but they were out there. So I started to get a couple of different like people, hey, if you're ever interested in coming to this brokerage firm, or I had some like just smaller developers, hey, if you want to help me with it, like I started getting some more offers to go and do new things, which I was starting to learn, like, okay, I do, like, that's something I have to do. I have to change my environment to get to where I want to go. And I was like, okay. And I just got to a point where if I'm going to keep being a broker, I have to go to a brokerage house, at least for a while, because I need to be around other high performing brokers and I need to be around more deal flow. And it's just like that's what I need to do. And I thought at that point in my life, I was like, I still need to be a broker. This is definitely something I need to do. So there was a company that I had identified from talking to a bunch of people and just from the market that kind of seemed like in my opinion, like the best firm in town. And they're really hard to get in. Like they didn't add a lot of brokers. It was very like hard place to get into. So I at that point I learned I like investment. I like sales. I like selling buildings over leasing buildings a lot more. That is one thing I learned. Like 75% of my income had come from one deal in 2 years. And I was like, okay, even though it takes longer to sell, you know, maybe only do like X amount of transactions in sales, I'd rather just do that than 1,000 leases. So went to this company's website, went to their roster. I saw how their business model was with how they have these different brokerage teams. I saw their investment sales team. And it was kind of just a bunch of, it was a few different lone wolves. And I noticed that, oh, this company is set up where they have like a retail team, office team, and industrial team. And they have these different teams, but then the investment group was just kind of more individuals. So there was a guy there who was about 10 years older than me who had been doing really well. And he had a great reputation and all that stuff. So I called him. I was like, hey, let's go get a coffee. And he kind of knew who I was. Get a coffee. And I was like, hey, man, I'm just, you know, just planting a seed. As a, you know, I think I could help you grow your business and you could obviously help me. Like, I can take some of the smaller stuff that you're probably like still working on so you can work on the bigger stuff. And I think we could make a team within, you know, this multifamily. He's doing a lot of multifamily. And so that, and so I planted that seed. I was like, hey, doesn't need to be a yes or a no, but I'm just telling you, I'm interested if you're interested. And then, you know, he did about like 6 to 9 months of due diligence on me. Like, you know, I would follow up, you know, probably like once a month and just say, hey, you know, what's up? How you doing? And then he was, I later learned that he was asking people about me, but I'd done the legwork. I'd done a bunch of networking. So a lot of people knew me and had relatively good things to say. And then fast forward, I end up joining this company with this guy. And then COVID hit. And then, you know, the market stopped for 3 months, but then it came back. It came roaring back, especially in multifamily sales. And so then it was just a roller coaster ride from then. Like, I went from, I can't even support myself. Like, my wife, we're living off my wife's like salary to, I could do this for the rest of my life. You know, like it works now. And, yeah, 2020, I'd say summer to 2020 to like Q4 of 2022 was just like an amazing experience because the market was so good. And then obviously with the rate hikes and all that stuff, it get humble pie a little bit, but it just taught me like, wow, like networking changed my life. Yeah. I mean, it's really like, if like we have a business coach so that guy I teamed up with at the big company, you know, one of the things I was just, it got to a point where I was like, hey, it was getting into Christmas of 2019. And I was like, okay, like I need to make a move. So it's like, if this doesn't work out, I have plan B, C, D. Like, so I went and said, hey, let's go grab lunch. So I went and said, hey man, I need a yes or a no. And if it's a no, totally okay. Understand, not a big deal. But I need to like go to my next option if it's not a yes. But I was like, hey, I do have this, you know, I do want to let you know that if it's a yes, as soon as I start making money and getting my feet under me, like I'm going to buy a property. I'm going to try and do a development. Like I do have this like entrepreneurial bug inside me that's never going to go away until I at least like try it. And if I fail, then I fail. But like, that's going to be a thing. Like as soon as like I close like 3 deals and I have a chunk of cash, like I'm going to do something with it. And it's going to be very untraditional from like, because a lot of brokers, they're brokers. They don't really, they'll maybe buy a couple properties here and there, but they're not going to go and do some random developments and all these things in this specific firm that I went and joined. So I was like, I don't want to blindside you, but that's going to happen. And so he's like, well, he's like, all right, well, you know, are you going to be in Omaha forever? I was like, yeah, I'm going to be in Omaha forever. Like, I like this city. My wife's family, we got family here. We're going to have, you know, grow a family, all that stuff. And he's like, I've always thought about starting my own brokerage firm. It's always been a dream of his. I said, you know what? There's some synergy in that. So like, he was like, okay, you know, if that ends up being a thing, then, you know, we're good. So knowing that, we start working together, and then we end up starting Oak Investment Real Estate in October of 2021. So, that's a story in itself, but like, yeah, you know, it just, again,
that all stemmed from that initial relationship, which again, you know, you started off with having conversations with a lot of different people in the space just to kind of get your name out there, because again, you're not from Omaha, which is, there's something to be said about that, because as you know, with commercial real estate, a lot of it is just familial relationships and people have been in a place for many, many years and they have these cemented relationships. And so if you're not from the area, you don't have you're not in with a network, sometimes it's really hard to get going. And so you kind of took initiative to be able to get out there, have conversations with people. You know, the big times to network are what? Coffee, breakfast, lunch. You grab a drink at if you want to, you know, on Thursdays or whatever like that. And you just kind of progress to that point. And obviously this opportunity wouldn't have happened had you not taken the initiative and said, hey, this is kind of the direction I want to go. Who can help me get there? And through that networking, through just research, you figured out, okay, well, this is the type of thing that I really like doing because I've done a deal. And granted, I know how it is during the first 2 years. I think my first year I made 13 grand. So it is a brutal, brutal first couple of years in particular. And so, you know, you figured, okay, I did a deal like this. I liked it. Now there's an individual that is operating at a very high level that does the same thing that I want to eventually do. Let me have coffee with him. Let me keep in touch with him. And understanding that in sales, just because they say no the first time doesn't mean it's a definitive no forever. So like there's always a constant follow-up that occurs. And obviously now you guys are starting a firm. You guys started a firm and you guys are starting to grow. And that's great. And I think that's kind of just reinforcing the idea for the audience that, you know, it's not just about, you know, hoping and willing things to happen. It's you got to get out there and have conversations with people. And face to face, there's no replacing face to face.
Face to face is always the goal.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you just got to pick up the phone. I mean, a lot of times you just got to pick up the phone and make the call. And I guess, you know, we're starting to get old because, you know, we've been in the business. We've just been out of school for 10 plus years. And you hear about the next generation coming up and everybody's like, oh, they don't like to pick up the phone or even like, you know, call you back or all these things. Like, I don't know how true that is or not, but like, the phone is how you like scale because you physically can only be in so many places that that's like, if you want to talk to as many people as possible, like it starts with a phone call or, you know, or an email, but typically it starts with a phone call and you just gotta, I just think it's like the more you can just be yourself on the phone and just be genuinely curious, it goes a long ways. And something I just wrote down, just was thinking about with the guy that I teamed up with, I truly thought I could help him too. It was like, the obvious thing was like, hey, I need your help, like save me. But I also did like, hey man, I think I could help you too. Mm-hmm. Because like you can only do so much as one person. So if you bring somebody else on, it allows everybody to grow. I mean, it's just, there's a true science to that, I feel like, but
yeah, it's a win-win, seeking win-win scenarios for everyone. Cause I mean, you're right. You would benefit from his relationship, but again, you were able to come in and fill up gaps in the things that he's not being able to do because he's doing too much for one person. You got to find ways to be able to scale. In order to do that, you have to bring in human capital. And, you know, if you could provide value in that respect when you started out and now you've built out a network of significance and you're obviously contributing on the revenue side, like that's great. But it started with you just making that call and having that conversation and kind of seeing where it went from there. So, you know, kind of referring back to the, you know, you getting started with this particular individual and then ultimately starting your guys' brokerage. I know off the call, we've had conversations about some of the things you're starting to do now just because you've been able to generate some income on the brokerage end. And I know there's a lot of people who are listening to this podcast who are brokers that aspire to do investments and developments and stuff like that. So, you know, one of the things I was kind of curious about is, you know, kind of similar vein, CRE, like commercial real estate networking, what opportunities have you been able to try to generate through just the relationships that you built through networking?
Yeah. I mean, I'll go into, cause I'm even as I'm thinking about right now, it's like this investment opportunity that we'll get into first. Like, it's like the whole reason this is even becoming an opportunity is because of meeting specific people that are helping me do it.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I just wanted to like to throw in there was that, like, you know, about the, it's just getting the coffees, the breakfast, the lunches, the beers or whatever. It's just like whatever somebody is interested in, just go do it with them. Like I've gone on walking meetings. I've gone on driving tour meetings. I literally picked up this like this guy who, this big multifamily developer who I met through a cold, I just cold called him. Mm-hmm. And he, and some of these people who you never think, like, they've got like 10,000 units and they're worth X amount. And you never mm-hmm. think they just, they'll pick up the phone and they'll like call you back too. But you never, people assume they won't because of some status thing. But anyways, this guy, I drove him to the airport. Like, we wow. went and looked at one of his things. He's like, yeah, I'm super, because people are super busy. So he's like, hey, like, yeah, if you want to come pick me up from this apartment, I'll go show you that apartment. Then we'll, can you drop me off at my private jet? I'm like, yeah, I would love to do that. And we end up hanging out for an hour plus. So it's like, whatever it is, you should just whatever people want to do. Like, if they want to go on a hike, like, yeah, I'll meet you at 5 a.m. to go on a hike. But that's that again, that's just like, I'm just genuinely super curious and like want to get to know these people and like, it, see if there's a way I can help or just learn, you know. But anyway, so when I, from that first company I got to when I was the property manager and then transferred into a broker, we were in an office building full of this. So this developer, this company, they went bananas back in the day. So they had like five different arms of these companies. And so they had an office building and it was full of a few of their different entities. So I was, you know, my company is up here and yada yada. But I got to know everybody in the building. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys worked for the construction company, and we became really good buddies. And we would just like, even when I left, we just kept talking. We were always like, I told him, hey man, I'm going to be a developer someday. That's what's going to happen. He's like, oh yeah, that'd be awesome. We should do a project together. And so, so once I left and started making a little bit of money, I was like, hey man, let's do it. Let's go do something. And, we brought on a third guy. We brought on a civil engineer as our third wheel and we're like, hey, let's just go do something small just to see how we work together as a team. Mm-hmm. So I went and found a house. So we flipped a house and it took forever. But again, this was like, we end up selling it. And I think we bought it like around Thanksgiving of 2020, sold it, you know, like early summer of 2021. The market saved us, you know, because it kept going up. So like we made money, it worked, giant pain in the butt. Like, one of the partners ended up, like the partner that we brought on as our third wheel, like didn't end up working. Like we, you know, everybody got paid, but like it didn't end up working out. Like we kind of parted ways after that. But what we did learn was like me and the construction guy, like, hey, we now know we can work together and do mm-hmm. stressful things. Like yeah. we know we can do it. And I literally threw like every penny I had into this house flip and got it all back and a little bit more. But I was like, man, the juice wasn't worth the squeeze. I didn't mm-hmm. like that. And people had always told me, oh, Spencer, you'd be such a good residential person because I like people and I listen to all that stuff. But again, I was like, I'm just not curious. I just have no, like, I'm not into it. Like mm-hmm. I'm not into the product and the final thing. So I said, you know what? I'm going to find a commercial deal for the next deal. So again, one of my buddies lived in this neighborhood, kind of in South Midtown, Omaha area. He told me about this, like, we were talking about this interesting industrial site that was like smack dab in this neighborhood. And I went, drove by it. Cause everybody drives by it from the interstate, but you never get off the interstate to like actually go in the neighborhood. So I did that and it sits on this pedestrian trail. It's this big industrial site. I was like, man. And at this point I've been doing a lot of multifamily deals. So I kind of have like that multifamily broker mind and I'm sitting there like, whoa. And I go, you know, I get my GIS map out. I said, man, this is a big, big site that sits on this pedestrian trail. Like this is an apartment site, like all day. This is an apartment mm-hmm. site. This is a beautiful apartment site. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I just cold called the owner. I said, hey man, would you ever entertain an offer? Because again, sometimes you just got to call. Sometimes people tell you to pound sand, but sometimes people will talk to you. And this guy's like, yeah. He's like, you know what? I would entertain an offer. I've had plans for this thing, but my business, he has a business. And he's like, my business is just like blowing up. And I'm just way super busy. I can't, I'm not going to do this thing I was going to do. So like, yeah, here's my price. And we negotiated, end up buying the deal, off market deal. And this thing is a lot. It's a lot. This is a very, very challenging big project. So again, so I was like, hey, here's my idea. I think this is an apartment, like village site thing here. And we could buy the site super cheap, bought the site for like under $500,000. And then you get debt on it. So it's like, you really don't need that much money to buy this thing. And it could cash flow a little bit because we did a sale lease back to the guy we bought it from. So he can still use the site to dump dirt and put his junk on. And, but the construction guy, you know, he has great resources with his company. And then we brought on another civil. So then the civil guy, he, you know, does this thing where he puts the setbacks and figures out like how many units you could probably put on it. You know, just like all the things. And then, you know, we've owned it for almost 2 years now, and we just got through a big entitlement process. And now this land that we bought, this industrial site that we bought for under $500,000, is probably worth like, I think I could, because I'm a broker, I think I could probably sell it for a couple million bucks now, which we're not going to do because we're still working through the entitlement process. But it's like, worst case scenario, I could go and sell for $1 million. We could double our money and just walk away. And we bought the property across the street from it. And so now we've got this site. And honestly, most people are like, oh, you're probably way in over your head. But what they don't understand is I've talked to so many developers. I've seen a lot of deals now. I really know a good site when I see one. I think this is a great site. So like, yeah. This is an amazing site. We've got, and then again, from the networking, like, hey, development is like, well, a huge part of it's construction. So like, hey, I've got an amazing construction partner. Civil engineer is such an important piece. So we have like a partner who we met through a golf outing. Like, I literally met this guy at a golf outing. I don't really golf that much, but like met him at a golf outing. And like, yes, I cannot do this by myself. No, I would epically fail. I wouldn't even be able to get this far, but I have friends and a team around me that can, like, as a collective, we can do it. And again, this kind of goes into that. You got to believe, you know, you got to have some confidence and you got to believe in yourself. Cause there's a lot of self doubt throughout. Once you start buying buildings and doing things, I mean, it's like, you got to really believe in it, because there's always going to your confidence has to be a little bit louder than the voice in the head that, you know, says you can't do it, or you get a lot of chatter from other people who say you can't do it. So, but that's why brokerage is so cool, because you learn from other people I even learned stuff as a property manager, but it's like, you start in 2017, didn't buy my first deal until that house. And then at this point now, then it's like 2020. So I've seen other people do stuff for 4 years. Yeah. And I've transacted a lot of those too. So it's like, you get to learn through other people. And then when the power of networking with developers, if you want to be a developer, or in somebody who invests in a bunch of industrial deals, if that's what you want to be, like, when you network with those people, you learn from them. And like, so much of it is like, hey, they're humans just like me. Like, we're kind of like the same. Like, they're not Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos. Like, they're like, yeah, they're smart. You got to be somewhat smart, but it's like, they're not like this super rare human. They just believe in themselves and they went for it, and they knew how to protect themselves along the way.
Yeah. And fill in the gaps, like you said, because, you know, you're not an expert in everything. I'm not an expert in everything, you know, that's where the pieces fall into place, is that, you know, you built a relationship with someone who was in the construction space. You built a friendship. You obviously know that he does good work, because otherwise you wouldn't have involved him in the project. And then same goes for the civil engineer. And you know that these are the pieces of the puzzle you need because of the fact that you've been transacting in the space. I always tell people when we talk about this on the podcast, is that learning by transacting is one of the best ways to know what it takes to do certain things. So if you're aspire to own multifamily property, by you being a broker in the multifamily space, or at least an adjacent space, like, you're going to start to realize, oh, these are what things that developers are looking for. These are the type of things that investors are looking for. This is the challenges you face on the asset management side. So it's like, it just, you're plugging these holes in these pieces. And obviously over time, you've been able to build that network out to where now this is a strong possibility of you guys being able to develop the site. And, you know, if at some point you guys need additional capital, you've built out a decent network, and now it's capital raising time. You know, you start you start having conversations with people to finance the project. So,
yeah, no, 100%. I mean, so like I started having, you know, my wife and I started having kids about almost 3 years ago, and my networking definitely like took a massive hit. Mm-hmm. I mean, the last 3 years. And, but it kind of like, oh, so for Oak Investment Real Estate, we have a business coach, and we've actually been working with him before, like as we were even thinking about starting a company, like we've been working with this guy. And so we meet like every other, we meet as a team every other week now, but we always just kind of do thought provoking questions. So he's like, hey, like, why did you guys decide to be, or one of the questions, why did you guys decide to become a broker? Which honestly, I've already explained it. It's so I could learn how to do stuff like I'm doing. But one of the things was like, what's the most important thing you ever did? And I was like, and I just was thinking about it. It was like, it was networking. And it was leading up to that. We had already set this on the calendar. I was like, man, it really was. Networking was the most important thing I ever did. And it kind of was like a paradigm shifting moment. Cause like, man, I really have to get back into it. Like, I mean, I'm starting to get, we have a 3-year-old and then we have some twin babies. And it's just like, so I've just kind of been like treading. And then I finally feel like I'm coming up for breath a little bit. It's like, okay, now it's like, if I'm going to do these big projects, like I tell myself I'm going to do, like I got to get back to like what made this all happen in the first place. And like rebuilding, you know, making the network get even better and bigger with a new realm of people, which is why one of the reasons is like, I wanted to talk to people like you and just kind of like do more stuff like this, just because, I've only been on one other podcast before, but from that one podcast I did, maybe 10, I don't know how many people listen to it. Maybe 10, maybe 100. I have no idea. But, this guy who I already knew, he listened to the podcast. And I talked a lot about this investment, this industrial investment that we were talking about. There's Garrett. Also, I met this guy. This guy, he helps me. We've been working together for a year. I met him at an airport and he was doing amazing. It's a whole story itself, but met him from just like introducing myself at an airport because I saw that he was reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad at 5 a.m. in an airport with a bunch of other college kids. And say, hey, we just talked a little shop on the, we ended up sitting by each other on the plane, talked a little shop. And I was like, hey, if you ever just like need somebody, if you ever want to just like talk shop or like, I could be like some sort of a mentor type person. I don't think we use those words. Like, yeah, I'm always open for a call. He followed up 3 weeks later and he now works at Oak. He's a broker at Oak. But it all just, because again, you say hello and he's helped me drastically because I have 3 kids under 3 and family is very important to me. So like I haven't been able to be as like present in the office and stuff. So he's helped me with the brokerage business while I'm doing these other development things. So anyways, that was a little side
note. Yeah, again, for sure.
Sorry. But anyways, so I honestly lost my track of thought there for a second.
No, it's fine. No, I mean, I think it just kind of reinforces the idea that
So the other podcast that I was on, I tell my story, talk about this investment, and we had only owned the big site, the big industrial site at this time, and this guy calls me, who again I already knew, but he had never really heard my story, and he's like, hey, I listened to your podcast, really, really liked it. And like, if you are ever like, whenever you're putting together deals, like always call me as an investor. Like I will give, like, I love it. I'm here. Like, I want to be a part of that journey. So fast forward, we're now trying to buy the property adjacent to this big site. So then we have so the site that we bought is 5 acres infill, and the other site next to it was a 2 acre. So we can get like a 7, you know, just a pretty big site. So with this other site, it had actual like buildings on it and it was cash flowing. So it was gonna be more expensive. We didn't have the money to buy it ourselves. Like we could probably with some friends and family, we got to about like 3/4 of the way there, but we needed another big chunk. And this guy and his partner filled the gap. And like, it's from this podcast that I talked on, and like, you know, it's just like, so anyways, that was the story on that one.
No, I mean, and, you know, I have a similar type of experience just through obviously my dealings locally and the podcasts and other things that I do, you know, from book writing and stuff like that. I've actually undertaken my first development project as well here in Louisville, Kentucky. I can't share a bunch of information as of yet, but we're going through the entitlement process and going to be hopefully closing on the property in the next 2 months and going to be doing a mixed use development on it. And obviously we're contributing some capital, my business partner and I, but we've also raised a decent amount of money to try to get it done. And that's a lot. Several of these investors have come through just connections I've made because of the podcast, because of the activities that I'm doing locally. I ran a local meetup for a long time as well, where I was able to meet a bunch of different investors locally. And that's how a lot of people associated and knew me. And then you connect on LinkedIn and you connect on Facebook, you connect on all these different places, and then your face is in front of them at all points of time. And over time, they see what you do on a day-to-day and you keep in touch with them. And then, hey, money can come from it. And obviously, you know, it's a partnership, right? It's a relationship where there's going to be mutual benefit, but that would never have taken place had there not been activity like this, where it's like, you know, you showcase what you can do. So just kind of reinforcing your discussion points. Cause I think I think it's great that we're able to have this conversation for the audience because of that fact. Like, I feel like a lot of people aren't sharing this information that it's a, you know, you may not see the results right away, but if you keep doing what you're doing, like you keep having those coffees, you keep having those lunches, you keep actively reaching out to people in areas that you want to improve upon or areas that you want to pursue, that's where the flywheel gets spinning. And then these types of opportunities end up falling in your lap when in reality, it's not, you know, luck meets opportunity, right? It's like, I can't remember the exact golfer, but he always said, the harder I practice, the luckier I get. You know, it's just one of those things that happens. So,
yeah. And like to piggyback on that a little. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I keep losing my train of thought. He walks in. Mm-hmm. I lost my train of thought.
No worries, man. No, but I think one of the things I was kind of curious about related, because what we want to do at the end is to kind of open up for Q&A. We do have some people on the call live here as well that we want to kind of give the opportunity to ask some questions. But to start, I kind of wanted to see if you could share, like if you're kind of back in your own shoes back in 2018, right when you're transitioning from being a property manager, and you're going to get in the brokerage space, you don't have a network almost at all, you're not from Omaha, and obviously this doesn't apply to people who aren't from the area that they're located in, but it does have something to do with you don't have the connections that you would typically need in order to operate at a very high level in the commercial real estate space. What advice would you give to these individuals regarding networking and maybe even building systems that would help them get to where they are today to where in like 3 to 4 years, they're really humming on all cylinders?
I mean, I really just think the low hanging fruit, the easiest thing to possibly do is just talk to your peers, the people who are the same age as you, relatively in the same stage of life or the same stage of like the business process as you. It's just so much easier. It's just so much easier to be yourself. It's so much easier to just talk shop. And even if you kind of sound like an idiot, it's like, yeah, whatever, you know, like you're not talking to, you know, the big investor who has like, you know, 10,000 years, whatever. It's like, just, it's so much easier. And the more of those you do, the more it just like, you start hearing the same lingo, the same just kind of random acronyms that are thrown out there. And it just gives you more confidence. And you don't want to be like so confident that you're just saying BS that actually isn't true. Mm-hmm. But just, and that takes a year or two. It literally takes a year or two to even like really know what you're talking about. So I think that is the easiest low hanging fruit. And I mean, like I told you, I literally went to these company websites and just like started looking for people and cold called them. And people typically, I think most people actually like believe in networking and like understand it's a good thing. They're just like, they get caught in the whirlwind of life and of their job, and they just like, they put it on the back burner. It's not a top priority thing. So it's not something they actually block to like work on. It's like, oh yeah, if I happen to go to that, you know, open house or that happy hour thing, I'll go to it. But like, they don't actually, they're not very intentional about it. So anyways, when you are being proactive and you're reaching out to these people, you get a lot of yeses. You get way more yeses than you get nos. And when you get a no, it's just like, it's just one step closer. And so when I went blank there and I lost my train of thought, it just came, I have scatterbrain. Also, mm-hmm. one of the reasons I knew real estate would be kind of good because I'm always all over the place. But when you were talking about how sometimes when you're putting in the work, the results aren't there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I feel like people, I just feel like sometimes the assumption is like, oh, like, yeah, like you're going to take gradual baby steps to get better and better and better. You know, it's like if you keep putting in the work. And like, I definitely have seen that case for a lot of people, but sometimes it's like you're doing the work, you're not getting any results. And like it's more of like exponential. Mm-hmm. And that's how it was. That was truly how it was for me. Like, it was like, I could not get any traction and I felt like I was doing all these things right. And it just wasn't working. And then, but then I met the person who helped me get to there, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And it's happened a few times, but so sometimes I wanted to piggyback on was that like, even when you're putting in this work, I think one of the reasons I kind of want to like get my story out there a little more is like, I don't even think I'm like successful yet. Like I'm still very much in the grind. I've had some like cool moments and some wins and a few like back-to-back nice years, but I'm still like just so much in the grind. And like, I still easily like might fail and have these like just moments where you have like egg on your face and you just like, I think a lot of times we listen to people who have already made it. They've already been super successful for a long time. They've already kind of like cemented themselves up there. And I don't think I really like listening to your stuff too. It's like, I mean, you're still pretty, I mean, I wouldn't say you've been like a super senior in the business. You're still grinding, still doing it. And it's like, it's important for people to see that, for young people to see that. It's like, hey, like these guys are still figuring it out too, but they're still just like putting themselves out there and like showing the process. And you're going to see some things that work and see some things that don't work, but it's not a story from an old guy who's sitting, you know, in his Lambo or whatever. Like, I don't know. This is a bit of a different experience that we really don't like see them. I don't think we see enough of it. Sorry. That's my
No, rant. Yeah. No, that makes complete sense. And I agree with you. I tend to think that there's some value, a lot of value in getting to know someone that's just a little bit ahead of you because yeah. Like you said, then there's this massive gap between where someone is and where you are. Oftentimes you don't really know what the next steps are because there's just such a big gap. Whereas, you know, luckily, the mentors that I've had in my life, you know, they've been some people who are just a little bit ahead of where I'm at. And I say, okay, like what did they do to get to that point? And you just continue to build on top of that. And you still aspire to do as much as you want. And obviously, you know, what is considered success for different people is different, right? Some people aspire to, you know, dominate the skyline in New York City. And if that's what you want to do, great. But there's other people too that like, hey, I want to just have a small portfolio of properties and, you know, kind of have a casual life. And I want to have, you know, a family life and do everything that I would like to do. That's fine too. It's whatever you define as success, but you need to model that yourself after those individuals that have that, you know, whatever you want. And then that's where networking comes in. It's like, hey, this person's doing what I want to do.
Yeah.
Just have the conversation and then start the dialogue and build the relationship. And you'll be shocked and surprised by the people that, you know, how receptive that people are. And, you know, I've always been shocked by it. Like I've called bigger developers or had conversations with people. And it's always amazing to see how humble a lot of people are because they understand, like, you know, when they were your age, they probably were in a similar position. And if you do showcase your commitment to the industry and you showcase that you're driven and are willing to grind, I mean, they see themselves in you a lot of times. So just kind of reiterating that.
Those are the people that like typically give you the most confidence. Like mm-hmm. when you're telling people about your ideas or dreams or aspirations, whatever they may be, And it's like, you know, when you're a broker and you're telling a bunch of brokers all these development things, and it's like, it's not necessarily like the best reception you get sometimes, but when you're talking to, like, you say, the guys who have done it, for me, they're the ones who've been, yeah, you can do it. You know, like it's like, watch out for XYZ, but like, you definitely can do it. You know, they're mm-hmm. the ones who like actually like, so yes, talking to people who are in the process of doing what you want to do, game changer.
Definitely, man. Couldn't agree more. So I wanted to give us about 10 minutes at the end of the podcast to kind of give people an opportunity to ask questions. So I'll go ahead and open it up to Q&A. So if you guys are watching this on LinkedIn, feel free to type away in the chat box. We'll make sure we get it answered. And if you guys are watching this on Facebook as well, I'll make sure that we get those answered as well. So I'm going to be checking the different feeds.
If there's no questions, okay. I figured a lot of people are watching basketball right now.
Potentially, but you know, it's interesting because, you know, we stream this live on StreamYard, and for whatever reason, the last few times, there hasn't been a good connection between LinkedIn and Facebook. It connects, but it doesn't remit information back. So there's been times where it showcased that there's no one watching, but then there's like more people watching on LinkedIn and they ask questions, and then we're just like, oh, like, I guess we don't have any questions. But in reality, we did. We just didn't see the feed. So I'll give it about a minute or two in the meantime to for people to ask away. In the meantime, did you have any insights that you thought we should have discussed that maybe I didn't ask you directly?
I had a couple of notes. Honestly, I think through a couple of my thoughts there, I think we pretty much hit all the things. So I'm just curious about you're doing this development. You don't want to talk about it, but like, what are your goals? Like, what are you trying to, what's the next like evolution of what you're trying to do?
Yeah. So, you know, long-term is, you know, development, brokerage, asset management. So, you know, the slow progression towards larger complexes. You know, obviously I operate a lot in the retail space. So that's kind of the direction I'm heading towards. So, you know, this particular development is a mixed use development that incorporates a, you know, food and beverage type of project. And the second one that I aspire to do is kind of like a small strip center with drive through capabilities, try to build those relationships with those national tenants, which, again, getting involved more in ICSC. And again, leveraging these tools like the podcast and the books that I've written. I'm going to continue to write books about commercial real estate, creating education pertaining to commercial real estate. And then I utilize that information and education to then train the next generation of brokers. And that helps build the business around it too. So there's so many different verticals you can explore. And, you know, we've been monetized on YouTube for the last year and a half. So we're starting to gain some traction there. You know, we got the podcast that's been doing extremely well. We're getting, you know, 5,000 to 7,000 downloads a month off the podcast. So, you know, again, you got media and you got brokerage. And so hopefully at some point we say we're a media company that just so happens to have real estate be the chosen product, you know.
How big is your team? Like, how many, like, what does your team look like?
My current team?
Yeah.
I just myself. I have a virtual assistant who's helped me with a lot of stuff. She's phenomenal, but she helps me a lot with the marketing side and really just making sure all the pieces, like the admin and the things that need to click together, click. But on the day-to-day side, it's just me. And obviously I'm at a brokerage currently, boutique brokerage locally here, but yeah, just try to make it as streamlined as possible.
Where'd you find your virtual assistant? I was actually thinking about that the other day.
Yeah, no, at the Philippines, she's great, but it's onlinejobs.ph. And I, you know, maybe we'll do a podcast episode at some point about that, and I'll have her on and we can maybe discuss how the process works. But yeah, what I did is I went on YouTube and found, you know, the process of hiring someone from outside the country and was able to kind of go through that process. And I got really lucky in that, you know, I interviewed a couple people and just seemed to fit well with one, and we've been together for almost 2 years now. So,
wow,
yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah, I've heard sometimes it's like a learning curve and you go through a couple of notes.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, not everyone, again, it's you're dealing with people, right? Yeah. So sometimes personalities don't mesh. Sometimes, you know, the quality of stuff doesn't mesh. I just got really lucky in that the person that I'm working with, she's great. And she's been working for me for a couple of years and does really good work. And I think a part of it too, is creating the systems to support them starting out, because a lot of people, when they hire someone, they just expect them to kind of figure it out on their own. And it doesn't lead to proper results. Like, you can't just say, hey, you know, just follow me around and figure out what we're doing. You got to create documentation. You got to create videos. You got to create systems that they follow so that they know what you expect. And then you can have something to review to say, okay, well, this is what we wanted to do. You fell short here. How, why, you know, it's easier to hold accountable and also learn quicker. It's just the ramp time to get learning is obviously much more refined at that point. But, but yeah. All right. Well,
it's all good. So is this recorded and then you,
it is. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we'll go ahead and I guess wrap up, cause it doesn't look like we have any more questions, but we distribute this on a variety of different platforms. So, for those of you guys who are tuning in, you know, again, we do this every other week where we invite speakers to talk about a variety of different topics pertaining to commercial real estate. You know, if you like this channel, if you like all the content we're producing, please like and subscribe on YouTube. It makes a huge impact. We also distribute this on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So if you guys are listening to this at a certain point in time in the future, feel free to leave a 5-star review. It does make a big difference in our ability to reach a broader audience. And again, Spencer, thanks again so much for stopping by. I think you did provide a lot of great information. If people want to learn more about you and the things that you do, how would they be able to get in touch?
Right now, I just, it's going to be LinkedIn or my email, which is spencer@oak-ire.com. But yeah, if you go to Oak Investment, you'll see our website on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's going to be the best place.
Yeah, no, and that's how we connected. So I would encourage you guys to reach out to Spencer, and you know, he's doing some awesome stuff in Omaha, and I actually have some connections. I know we talked offline a little bit about me having some connections in Omaha. So at some point, hopefully I'll make it out there and we'll be able to connect in person.
Please. Yeah. I mean, hey, you know, the Berkshire annual meeting's coming up.
Oh yeah.
We got,
I'm going to buy one of those A stocks. That's like what, 250,000 for,
You know, you don't have to do that, but if you can, you should do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is quite an event. It's pretty cool. Cool.
I mean, if I could have bought Berkshire stock 50 years ago, if I was still alive, that would have been great.
The amount of old guys I talked to who like, oh yeah, like, yeah, I bought a couple A stocks back, you know, like you said. It's like, whoa, that's it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Well,
enjoy basketball weekend, man. I really do appreciate you having me on here. I know you've had some really cool, I've gone through your list. You've had some really cool people on here. So like, even allowing me to come on here and do some talking is really appreciated. And you know, hopefully stay in touch.
Absolutely. And again, like I said, if you guys do plan to learn a little bit more about, if you want to learn more about what he's been able to do and some of the strategies that he's been able to leverage to get, you know, where he's at in the networking side, from the networking and in commercial real estate, don't hesitate to reach out to Spencer. He's going to be a great resource for you all. And, you know, kind of to reiterate, please like and subscribe. It does make a big impact in our ability to reach a broader audience, and we greatly appreciate the support. So thanks again so much for tuning in, and we'll see you all next time.
Thanks, man. Bye.